Hello, Danhausen here. Very nice, very evil, very famous. You are listening to Adventures in Collecting. Yes, a podcast of some sort about toys, but you already know that because you are listening right now. And if you did not know, then, well, what are you doing here? Anyways, have a nice time. Enjoy your listening. Love that, Danhausen.
Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting. We're back.
We are. Hi, everyone.
And as usual, when we have a special guest on board, we are not going to bury the lead, Dave.
No, we're not.
I do need to issue one correction from last episode before we get into it with our special guest today.
What was the correction?
So we were talking last episode about the McFarlane gold editions of those gold label figures that are coming out, and we were talking about the Red Death one, the all gold Dark Knights Metal Flash variant.
Yeah,
turns out that is actually not a just repainted gold figure. That is actually canon. It is comic accurate.
Oh, cool.
And it was pointed out, pointed out to me that he is turned exactly that color scheme by the Flash in the comics in order to make him a good guy and fight alongside the Flash and Batman. So that is not just a random gold repainted figure. And it is canonical. So, yeah. So
nice.
There's that little correction from last episode. But that being said, joining us today on the pod, Dave, we have a very special guest, formerly the editor of Toy Fair magazine. Zach Oat has been overseeing the marketing for Diamond Select Toys for nearly a decade now, showcasing toys and collectibles from brands like Marvel, Star Wars, Avatar, Disney, John Wick, Lord of the Rings, and so many more. Welcome to Adventures in Collecting, Zach.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm excited.
We are also excited to have you.
Yes, very much so.
So before we kind of jump into your history with toys and, you know, everything that's going on with Diamond Select, we'd like to ask all of our guests first, what are you currently collecting?
On one level, I collect everything Diamond Select Toys puts out. I get so much stuff from them for photography and just reviews and all sorts of stuff that I don't have a lot of time for anything else. But in addition to BST stuff, I do collect a lot of Matchbox and Hot Wheels, actually, which is something I don't really talk about too much. But I'm a big fan of the little cars.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's one of those things where, and I don't know, Dave, if your Target and Walmart experiences are like mine, but almost every time I'm there, there's somebody sifting through the pegs or like the giant bins of Matchbox and Hot Wheels cars.
I've seen it a couple times. Yeah, the only small car that I've picked up recently was I think it's Johnny Lightning did Christine, like the movie car.
Yes.
Oh, wow, that's cool. I haven't even seen that one.
Yeah, I saw it once, and I was like, "All right, I passed on the Nightmare on Elm Street car, so I'm gonna get this one."
Yeah, the other diecast Jada does some interesting stuff with cars. I mean, they're a little bit bigger, but
yeah, I think the Nightmare on Elm Street one was Jada.
Yeah, they have like the Fast and the Furious, what the taco truck for Deadpool. I think that's all them. I do mostly the little ones, the 164s, but. But Hot Wheels still does some great stuff. They do Star Wars, and they do... I just got the Ninja Turtles party wagon.
Nice. And they have nice. They have like a chase system, too, like a chase variant system?
Yes, they do. I don't keep track of it too much. I'm more of a casual guy, but I've come across a couple of them where they were the rare variants.
Yeah, it's so interesting that we actually get questions about Hot Wheels and Matchbox all the time, and I feel bad because I don't know how to I don't know how to answer. It's something that I've never. I mean, like when we were kids, we had Hot Wheels and Matchbox, but we
I
played
had
with them.
Bunch. Yeah,
you know, we set them up on the tracks and like actually played with them. So I don't know the value system or the, you know, the collecting system for those cars at all.
I think my favorite ones was like when there was ones where it was almost like Battle Armor, He-Man and Skeletor, where when they hit each other, like it flipped and there was a little dent. Or like the hood would pop up or something like that. They were pretty cool.
Yeah, I think I had one or two of those too. Yeah,
I always liked when, you know, again, when I was a kid, you know, some of those cars like the Plymouth Prowler and like the PT Cruiser, those like weird kind of retro inspired cars before they came out in real life. A lot of times like there would be a Matchbox or a Hot Wheels version of that car. And it was always cool to see that, or like the new Beetle, like when the new Beetle came out. I remember getting those and thinking it was cool. So, I mean, that's one of those things where those, you know, cars and collecting, you know, diecast cars has been a thing for so long.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of what you're collecting and, you know, and kind of a history of toys, if you will, how did you originally find your way into the toy industry?
I was a big comic book fan. I read Wizard magazine, and I started getting back into toys in college, picking up the occasional piece or stack of pieces at KB Toys and just buying stuff on that was on sale there or pretend sale, as I think eventually revealed that nothing at KB was actually on sale. So I'll just mark like it's on sale. So I started reading Toy Fair magazine and, you know, by the same publisher. And when it came time to graduate, and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do for a career, I applied for an internship at Wizard. And they didn't get back to me for a while. By the time they got back to me, I was looking for a job. And they asked if I was interested in a job at Toy Fair magazine. And I applied for a copy editor position. I got it. And I was there for, 8 or 9 years. Worked my way up from copy editor to editor. And got to know a lot of people in the industry in that time. And that eventually led to me hooking up with Diamond Select Toys and, so people I'd known for a while, and they had a opening for marketing supervisor. And that was when I came on board with them. That was back in, you're right, it was back in 2011.
Yeah, I totally looked you up on LinkedIn to make sure I had all the dates and everything right.
You're stalking me.
Toy Fair was such a huge deal. I mean, I remember, back like, early internet, pre-internet days, like those Toy Fair exclusives, like the Jax wrestling figures and everything. Like there was always like a fun Toy Fair exclusive. Was it an exciting time to be there with the magazine?
Oh yeah, yeah. I came on a board like around issue 27 or so. So they'd already gotten a good start and they'd already done a lot of really cool exclusives. But they definitely, the whole program really ramped up while I was there. They started doing really, really popular ones, like some of the Simpsons line. That was really some of the most popular ones we did. There was a lot of interest in, like glow in the dark Homer Simpson and, Pin Pals figures and stuff like that. And, we did some really great stuff. We did like a 12-inch figure for the Final Fantasy movie, with Palisades. I'm trying to think what we did. We did, an exclusive 2-pack of Minimates with Diamond Select Toys. There were just so many great figures that came out. And I definitely had a few before I started working.
So Diamond Select produces action figures and standard waves and sets, but there are a bunch of uniquely one-off releases. How do opportunities like Bruce Lee or The Crow or Jay and Silent Bob come to be?
Jay and Silent Bob was interesting. It was a license that, there hadn't really been a lot of product for us. We looked into it with the studio, and that actually hooked us up with Kevin Smith. He was doing, had to approve a lot of the stuff that was being done. And, we started working with him directly on a lot of things. We ended up going after the Clerks license and the Mallrats license. And then eventually we were doing stuff, just based on his, the characters, not, separate from the movies, characters like Movie and Buddy Christ, things like that. And eventually we started working on the new movie, Reboot. And those were the last pictures we did. Bruce Lee, I'm not sure how it got started exactly, but it was another character who had not had a lot of merchandise for him. And we ended up working directly with the Lee family on that. And once we were working with them, then it made a lot of sense to go after the Crow license because we'd be handling the same same approvals with the same family for Brandon Lee. So it's really one thing leads to another with us. You know, if something works out with the one studio, then we look and see what other studios what the studio offers, what other licenses, and it's very often a chain of events just like that. But it usually starts with the president, Chuck Tercera, looking at different licenses and seeing what makes sense and what's available.
You know, it's so interesting. I didn't even think that's Bruce Lee's son, but it's one of those things where, especially now with like the way that toy photography has taken off and, you know, companies out there producing figures that are, if not the same scale, very similar scale, like you can have these amazing, you know, we talk about it all the time, but you can have these amazing mashups and this amazing, you know, kind of iconography mixing with each other. And that's one of the things that makes, you know, having a character like Bruce Lee or the Crow on your shelf, because, you know, first of all, the quality of what, you know, you're putting out at Diamond Select is incredible. I mean, the figures look amazing. You're nailing the likenesses, the ability to pose, the amount of accessories they come with. Like, it is just, it's the full package. And we'll get into some fun packages a little later on. But, you know, I think those one-off releases, it makes it almost easier to collect, right? Because you don't have to make a commitment to a wave. Like, you know, if I get Marty McFly, I need Biff and I need Doc and I need whatever else ends up coming out because I can't just have Marty. But like characters like the Crow, like Bruce Lee, like the Rocketeer, like they kind of are these one and done, you know, like labors of love, and it's obvious that they are. So I think that's one of the things that makes Diamond so unique, and I love that you guys are thinking that way, kind of like that out of the box thinking, really.
Yeah, it's I mean, it makes in some ways it's you know, making more product for a license makes it more realistic to get that license. You know, if you're going to be making a lot of different types of product, and you know, for sets like you know, for like the Disney series that we did, because Rocketeer was technically part of a wave we did with Black Hole. So, and Jack Sparrow wasn't necessarily part of that assortment, but, you know, sort of another continuation of that Disney license, you know, along with Tron. So it's like with the Disney figures, it's like we're doing a whole series of figures, but they're not necessarily, you know, people can pick and choose which ones they like. They don't need to get invested. But that said, we're going to go back and do more for Black Hole for sure. Who knows if Jack Sparrow does well, maybe we can go back and revisit some other characters. We had previously developed a Barbossa figure. I'd love it if we went back and revisited that one for sure.
That would be awesome. Barbossa or even Davy Jones. That would be a fun one.
That would be awesome.
Maybe do a deluxe with the organ.
And it's cool to see, you know, things that, you know, you wouldn't normally expect to see figures of, like Tron, like Black Hole, get made. Just because it's, you know, as much as I love Tron, I know it's a bit niche. So it's really cool to kind of see that.
Yeah, Tron is, I mean, it's definitely an iconic movie. And I'd certainly love it if we went back and revisited you know, like the new movie. I'm a big fan of the new movie. The Black Hole stuff really took me by surprise. I was born in 77, so I was a little too young to see it the first time. And I don't think I saw it in full until the last few years. I think basically when I found out we were getting the license. And I saw, you know, what people really liked about it. There's a lot of great designs. It's a really interesting movie, and nobody's made any product for that since the original movie came out. With I guess it was, I think Vigo back in the day. So the fact that there had been this pent-up demand for product over the course of, gosh, what are we talking about? We're talking about 40 years almost. That really has led to a major interest in product, and we've actually gone back and done a couple different runs of those figures.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, a movie that I feel like over time I've learned to appreciate more, or I've come to appreciate more.
And it's toyetic.
Yeah, very much so.
There's a lot of design in it that's toyetic, which, you know, easily lends itself.
Yeah, the human characters are a little bit more, they're not as, you know, elaborate and interesting. The uniforms are a little flat, but the robots for sure are, there's a lot of really great designs there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, speaking of buzz, there is a lot of buzz about the recent Invader Zim and then the Invincible figures. Can you tell us more about what we can expect from those IPs this year?
Invincible, we're going to start off with the two figures. We'll see how those do and move on from there. We're going to be offering more bare-bones versions at Walgreens. It's just going to be a straight-up figure with, I think, a couple alternate hands, but there will be some the deluxe version. The specialty stores will come with additional pieces, alternate heads, some accessories. And, the Invader Zim figures, I don't know if they're going to be offered anywhere else, but we are doing pretty deluxe versions for specialty. They come with a lot of accessories, some interchangeable parts. I think a couple of them have interchangeable heads. And they look, just based on the accessories that we're offering, they look really, really crazy.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are super pumped for those Invincible figures. The trailer, you know, is out for the new animated series. I think it's coming to Prime. And they look spot on to the animated likenesses. So I'm excited to see the show, and you know, I love that there are more superhero action figures, but I know, Dave, you're very excited for those Invader Zim figures.
Yeah, it's a series that I've loved for a long time, and then kind of reloved once that the new movie had come out. But yeah, I mean, just based off of the amount, even just accessories in there, it's an amazing looking kind of set.
Oh, cool! Thank you. That's great to hear.
And you've got the main kind of characters that you'd want in this first wave.
Yeah, hopefully, if they do well, we'll go back and revisit some of their different looks, and I know there are some other characters people have been asking for already.
So, speaking of the design process and all of the things that come with these figures, between all of the busts and statues, which I mean, we could spend an entire episode talking just about that end of the spectrum of what Diamond Select offers, and of course the action figures we've been talking about. It's clear that you guys work with an insanely talented roster of designers. How do you guys go about finding, finding these designers like the Jean St. Jeans and the Paul Hardings to work with?
You know, so many of the people that we work with, we've been working with for decades. Who was I just thinking about? Claiborne Moore has been working with Diamond Select Toys for a very long time. Jean St. Jean as well. Alterton. I didn't even realize how long Alterton had been working with BST, but he was working on some of our back in the original run of Marvel statues that we did, over 10 years ago. Because by the time I came on, they pretty much wrapped up a lot of the Marvel busts and the statues. And it was only in the last few years that they've started working on them again. And we do get a lot of submissions from people, and I always forward them on when I get them from social media and email, and I forward them on to our president, and he takes a look at them. I don't know who the last person he hired from there was, but I know that he has taken on some new sculptors that we've never worked with in the past couple of years.
Yeah, it's one of those things where back, I want to say. Man, time is super weird right now, but I think it was originally supposed to be last summer We were supposed to have our first ever live recorded podcast, and Gene was actually going to be one of our special guests for the for the show, and that in preparation for the episode that kind of never was and hopefully will be at some point. I started looking at all the different designers and started kind of combing through the press release blogs that you guys put out every time, those monthly updates. And I started to look through all the individual names and just kind of noticed that just the ocean of talent that you guys use for the for whether it's the sculpts or the designs, and of course like the work that you guys do with Gentle Giant, it's just it really is amazing. It is amazing the different textures and the different kind of styles of all the different artists that you use, and it's incredible. It's incredible to see them and now to be able to follow them on social media and interact with them as well. It really is just great.
Yeah, in addition to the sculptors, we do work with some amazing designers. Nelson Asensio has been working with the company since back in the Art Asylum days, before Art Asylum was partially acquired by Diamond Select Boys. And Caesar is a great artist. He used to draw comic books, and now he does a lot of the designs for our gallery dioramas, our Marvel ones, and some of our DC ones. And Uriel Catone has done a lot of our mini-mate designs, but also a lot of our gallery designs as well. David Forrest from Kinetic Underground, I think, designed the Invader Zim figures that we were talking about.
And I always see, what's the other name? Yuri...
Yes, Yuri Timing. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name right, but yeah, he does a lot of our action figure designs. He does some really great work.
Yes, I saw that name. I've seen that name, a ton of times on the action figures, and it's one of those ones where I always try to find. I always try to find him to tag him on social media, and I can't find him anywhere.
Eamon O'Donohue is big on social media. He's always sharing some of his action figure designs that he does for us.
Yeah, he's fantastic too. Fantastic, and yeah, if you're listening to this, he's an amazing follow. Some of the work that he does is just it's out of this world.
Yeah, definitely check out Caesar Antometti. Caesar, he has a pretty great channel as well. A little more adult, but he does a lot of different kinds of work.
Very cool. So speaking of design, some of the deluxe packaging announced and released last year, specifically on the John Wick figure, or one of my favorite things that I've received ever, and like have struggled with not opening, which was the San Diego Comic-Con Tron package that looked like the cassette clamshell. Just incredible stuff. How do ideas like that get off the ground?
This past year in 2020, we really made an effort to up our game with San Diego exclusives. People I've always liked what we've done, but for the most part, we've done pieces in our regular line that would fit in with our regular line in terms of packaging. So it would be, pretty standard action figure packaging or gallery packaging, with the window box. So this past year in 2020, we really wanted to do something special for a lot of our releases. So that was how we ended up doing it, like the Tron box set and the VHS, the Nightmare Before Christmas for the built-in Blacklight. There were a couple other ones that I was thinking of. And that's kind of where the John Wick figure came, the poster set. I think we were originally going to do that for San Diego, but we didn't get the timing to work out. So we ended up making that a regular release. But the poster set for John Wick is a really great set. We had an accessory, the chest that he digs up from under his garage. That piece we had designed for the action figure line, but it turned out to be too much to do for the regular line to fit into our regular price point. So that was when we said, well, let's do a deluxe box set. And that was how the big movie poster set came about with the opening door and the cutout.
Yeah, when I first got my hands on that box and saw how big it was, I I was giddy because I was like, I don't know what's in here. Like, you can't see anything because it's the design looks like the poster, but it's such a large box. And I'm like, there's got to be goodies in here. And like, I didn't, full disclosure, like, didn't look up like the listing to see what was in there. And it was an experiential thing, like sliding off the, you know, the translucent band with the John Wick logo on it, and, you know, the Velcro box, and then, you know, unpacking all of the various like little pieces, the coins, the weapons, the way that they kind of nest into the like different shelves in the into the trunk. We actually did an unboxing of it on our YouTube channel, and it is still one of my favorite packaged figures. And I personally, like, I love like the windblown tie too. I thought that was a really nice touch.
You gotta have the windblown tie, absolutely.
It's awesome. And like, it's one of those things where, especially like for photography, like, he is perfectly frozen in motion with that. It is awesome. And we talked about Tron. I really like too the arcade cabinet.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was originally scheduled for something else, but it looks like it's going to be a really amazing set. I think that one again was designed by David Forrest from Kinetic Packaging, but it uses obviously the Series 1 figures, and I'm looking forward to seeing how big it is. I've seen the measurements, but it's hard to really. I'm not a dimensions guy, so when I see the numbers, I don't necessarily think about how big it's going to be. But I'm curious to see it first.
Well, that was too like me. When I saw the VHS toy, I was like, I immediately ordered it. It was one of those things where I was like, no hesitation, like, yo, I'm going to order this right now. And when I got it, I was just so like, I want to say giddy opening it, because of how much I was like, this is a Disney VHS box. This is beyond cool, down to like the silver sticker and everything like that. I was like, the amount of attention to detail for this package and just the figure being the movie poster, I was like, I don't know how I want to like display this, either open or just close like this, but this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
That's great to hear. And I will say this, it was very well received, so do not be surprised if you see more VHS tape packaging in the future.
Hey, you have that amazing, amazing, amazing Hercules figure that you guys put out with the for that Kingdom Hearts set.
That is a great Hercules.
Throw that Hercules figure right in one of those VHS packages, man. That would
be pretty awesome. That would definitely be awesome.
Yeah, and you already have the figure. That is a perfect repurposing of a figure, because that would be awesome. And I have to say, like, you know, obviously we host a podcast about toys, so, you know, we're passionate about it. But COVID has, you know, kept us apart, so like, we've been, you know, just kind of sharing things remotely. But even so, like, you know, we get toys regularly and kind of just send each other pictures. I got an actual phone call when Dave got that, because he was like, no, you don't understand, it's it's actually like a Disney VHS. And I was like, no, I saw the pictures. And he's like, no, it is actually like, it feels like the plastic is the same. And I was like, okay, so switch to FaceTime. And he was like, I don't know if I can open this. I don't know if I want to open it because it's so pretty.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff, like, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, so it's that harnessing that kind of emotional connection to the thing that these toys are based on. And clearly, like, you know, you guys hit the nail on the head on that one. I mean, that's, you buried it.
Oh, yeah, absolute home run.
That's good to hear. Thank you so much, you guys.
No, happy to share that feedback. I mean, we're big fans of what you guys do, and, you know, it's like I said, it's great to finally have you on after, you know, having our hands on so many of the products and kind of going through them. So what I wanted to do was, I actually want to take a moment and turn the interview over to our audience. So anytime we have a guest on, we post an Instagram story, which, by the way, if you are listening to this and you are not following us on Instagram, it is @AIC_podcast. We're on Instagram and Twitter. follow us, because when we have guests on, we put up opportunities to ask them questions. So we have a couple of questions from our audience. And if you're game, we'll throw them your way.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Bring them on.
All right. So first up, so late 2020 saw the introduction of Star Wars action figures to Diamond Select, with Boba Fett and Darth Maul as Disney Store exclusives. So can we expect more characters in that line?
Absolutely, absolutely. We're definitely going to be doing more for the Disney Store. But I can't talk about who they're going to be, but hopefully we're going to be revealing those in the next few months. I'm not sure exactly what the release schedule is for that, but I know we've been working on the packaging. And if we're working on the packaging, that's usually a few months out. So, yeah, you know, they have their own schedule, so but we'll announce that as soon as they're ready to start offering them.
Awesome. And they're going to stay at so far as Disney Store exclusives like the first two.
Yes, they will be Disney Store exclusives. We may change up the packaging a little bit, just because, we love the Select packaging. We've been using it for decades, and for the larger figures, it makes a lot of sense. And for the figures with dioramas, it makes a lot of sense. But for, you know, figures that don't necessarily have those big, big pieces, we've started doing more of a deluxe packaging. So, you may see the packaging change, but still great quality, and they'll be 7-inch scale first one.
So you think, is it going to be more in line to like the Walgreens versions of the packaging for some of the figures, or?
Similar, yes. Similar window box. Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Dave, you want to do the next one?
Yeah. So we have lots of questions and requests for the Avatar line. Are there any plans at the moment to grow that offering?
Yes. We solicited series 3 and 4. Not sure when series 3 will be hitting exactly, but as far as I know, series 5 and 6 are in development. So we'll see what character. There's a lot of characters people want to see. Everybody wants to see Uncle Iroh, but we'll have to see if we get to him. But a lot of great characters to do. Sure.
That one came up several times.
Everybody loves him.
That and so I'm gonna get flayed by our listeners. I actually have never seen Avatar the show. I've honestly been waiting for my daughter to be at the right age, which apparently 5-6 is a good time to dig in. I want to experience it with her. So we're gonna start watching it. But people also want. There's a lot of requests for the. I can't remember its name. I should have written it down. But Aang's animal friend.
Oh, Appa. Yeah.
Yeah, Appa.
Yeah, he's really big. But who knows? The line's doing really well. So never say never is what Chuck always said.
Cool. People are going to be excited to hear that answer because there is out of when I put that question up, the first three that I got were Avatar based. With requests for characters and for just like we need more, which I guess is a good thing because you guys, they're great looking figures, and you know I can't wait to watch the show. So
yeah, it's another line where they didn't do a lot of product back when the show was on the air. I think they only did like a few figures, maybe more than a series, but I'm not sure. And just there's a lot of built up demand for it, and with it airing on Netflix, that just intensified that demand. So.
Yep, and it's reintroducing it to a whole new generation of viewers. So.
Yes.
All right. So Legends in 3D. People are looking for more Batman the Animated Series busts. Are there more in the works?
We have Harley Quinn coming out real soon, and then Wonder Woman is going to come out after that. I don't know for sure what's going to be coming up beyond that. We may come back to it in the future, but I think that those might be what we're doing for the time being. I'm looking forward to seeing the Harley in person. People have been really, really positive about the Batman and the Joker. A lot of great responses to those. We even sent one to Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they think about it as well.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things for me, going all the way back to Toy Fair, where we actually met, you know, kind of wandering through the booth. I was excited to see all of the action figures and, you know, the things that kind of I was familiar with, but I didn't realize kind of the breadth of display pieces that you guys made in statue and bust form. And like, they pop. They're unbelievable. Whether it's those like those PVC diorama pieces, the Marvel ones, like the ones based on like Spider-Man the Animated Series, or, you know, the ones that we were just talking about, those Legends in 3D from Batman the Animated Series, you know, they really are incredible. And I'm almost at the point where, like, when I get the regular, you know, when we get the regular release schedule stuff, I'm like super curious to see what busts you guys are putting out in statues. It's, you know, the work is incredible there.
We just announced a really good looking one from the Miles Morales video game.
Yeah,
it's really cool. He's on top of a building, and the electricity from his electric shocks is kind of coursing up the sides of the building. Came out really great. There's one designer for the entire Legends of 3D line, and that's Joe Allard. And he's done some other stuff. He designed some of our Godzilla PVCs as well. But right now he's designing all of those Legends of 3 Dimensions busts. And he just does a great job.
So let's spend a couple minutes talking about the bust, because we've been very action figure focused. And I feel like, you know, that's just a kind of a drop in the bucket to what you guys do. Is there a different process to kind of the statues and busts than the figures, or kind of are they approached with the same mindset where it's just kind of, you know, looking to see what needs coverage?
I mean, you certainly want to look at the iconic characters for the L3Ds. You know, the Legends of 3 Dimensions line isn't really one where you're going to see a lot of, you know, secondary and tertiary characters. Like you would with maybe a smaller bust line, like the General Giant Star Wars line that we do, the 1/6 scale busts. You know, we after all these years, you know, the Star Wars line started to get into some of the more obscure characters, but also, you know, major characters as new media pops up. Obviously, like the Mandalorian, but in the original trilogy line, we're starting to get into really cool Cantina characters like Lax Sivrak, the Wolfman, and Tessic from the court of Jabba the Hutt, the squid, nice, squid-headed guy.
Yep.
And so, I mean, that's a line where, you know, where you're going to get into some more obscure characters. We just recently relaunched standard size Marvel busts, you know, like 1/7 scale. And we started off with Dr. Doom, and we did Iron Man, and now we've offered Deadpool. So, you know, we're sticking with the A-list there, but I think hopefully eventually we'll get into some more more secondary characters. So, because they're really great looking pieces, designed by Nelson and sculpted by a relatively new sculptor for us, Juan Pitluck. Again, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the last name. I only see it in writing.
I really like too the busts, like the one you did recently of I want to say it was Rex with like the swappable pieces to them too.
Yes, for the Star Wars, we've started doing a lot of swappable pieces. I'm sure that before we acquired General Giant, they were doing it as well. But lately, we've offered like interchangeable heads for Rex, the Commander Rex. We did removable arms for Ponda Baba. I think we have an interchangeable head for I'm blanking on her name from Rebels, Sabine Wren, Mandalorian, yes, there on that show. So she's got an interchangeable arms and interchangeable unmasked head. We just announced an unmasked, interchangeable masked and unmasked Finn from Force Awakens for the 10th. I think it's the 10th anniversary of Force Awakens. And we're so he's got the Bloodstreak helmet. Then he's got the unmasked Finn head.
Yeah. And that's one of those things with, like, you know, statues and busts. Typically, you know, you think of them as static pieces, right? Like something that's, you know, you take it out of the box and that's what it is. And I think the ability to kind of customize the look of it a little bit and, you know, change it up and make it a little more dynamic is more, makes those, you know, those statues or busts more attractive to action figure collectors, right? Because action figures are all about, you know, the people that open them, at least, are all about posing them and putting them on a shelf and taking pictures of them. And I love that dynamic feature to some of those busts. That, to me, that's like, yeah, it's the most attractive thing about it next to the design.
I've never really thought about it like that. How it's like making them posable, which is very cool. We just did a deluxe first order trooper who came with a couple different interchangeable arms, and we did an officer. And then for our premier guild, we did a deluxe set where it came with all the different arms, and you could have officers or troopers. And but between the different shields and the gun arms, and it's almost like it has accessories, really, because you can have it holding the shield, have it holding a blaster, have it holding a pistol. It's a very cool set.
It's like somewhere between an action figure and a model kit and a statue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and even like the variety and styles, like if you look at the the ones that I think are a lot of fun are the Marvel animated ones. Like there's the Gamora that just went up.
Yes, the animated
just have
style
a
statue.
Really cool. Yeah, just the stylized look is just so cool, and it's just very it like Eric was saying before, it pops. There's a lot of, you know, cool color usage and just character design that make those stand out.
No, they're really awesome based on the Scotty Young designs. Yeah, no, the Gamora that we just offered is it's one of my favorites in recent years, because that line's been going on for a while under General Giant and now under us. And we have coming up. I think we just shipped Doctor Strange, Logan. It's coming up. The Hulk, the Thing. There's a lot of different characters coming up, but the Gamora, really, she pops, and she's got a great facial expression, and it's just a great pose.
And there was the Scotty Young Deadpool like Peanuts mashup too, right? Where he was in the Merc for Hire booth.
Yes, Merc for Hire. Yeah, what was it? One million of Merc. And it was just the weapons display on that piece is amazing.
Yeah, I think you guys had that one out at Toy Fair, and I got a good laugh. That was, I'm laughing just thinking about it, actually.
No, Scotty Young is a great illustrator. He does some really great work.
So our last question, going back to the questions from our audience, or our followers, excuse me. And this is something, too, that I am also extremely excited about because I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan, so... The Lord of the Rings figures that are coming. Are there additional plans outside of the first wave with the Sauron Build-A-Figure? Are there any additional waves planned or Build-A-Figures planned?
I'm not sure about our next Build-A-Figure. We definitely have at least four waves planned. Each wave has two figures, so the first three waves. First is Legolas, Gimli. Second one is Frodo and the Ringwraith. And then the third one is, I believe, at this point, Aragorn and an orc. So those three waves will have the buildable Sauron. And then we do have a fourth wave plan. And we've also got an in-scale gallery diorama that we're working on, which hopefully we're going to be revealing in February, I'm pretty sure. So I'm very excited to, I haven't even seen a picture of that one. I'm very excited to see it and hopefully people will go nuts for it.
So a diorama that is in scale with the fig, I'm literally like, I'm making fists right now. So a diorama that's going to be in scale with the figures.
Well, a gallery diorama, which is what we call the PVC line. So it's not necessarily an environment, but a larger character.
Gotcha. Oh, that's so cool. I'm so excited. that's another one where when I walked into the booth at Toy Fair and saw those back last, God, I can't believe that was last February already. Jeez. And saw those, I was blown away by how they looked, standing there next to the John Wick figures. I'm super excited to get my hands on those. That is one, especially with all of kind of the new buzz around Lord of the Rings. Obviously, like, it has a very big built-in fan base, but, with the show eventually coming out on Amazon Prime, and,
The new show has been so mysterious. It's got such a big cast they've announced, and the description is very it tells you what's going on, but it's not necessarily, you know, real specific. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing footage from that. And obviously that was part of the big reason for us going after the license, where, because we knew there was going to be more content coming to get people, you know, really reinvested in that world.
And I think that's one of the big pieces of, I don't want to say necessarily criticism or feedback, but I think every time a company has attempted to make Lord of the Rings figures, it hasn't lasted long enough to satiate people, right? So, like, it hasn't lasted long enough to give them the characters that they wanted or the quality of the characters that they wanted. So I think the big question surrounding the Lord of the Rings figures is, like, are we going to get this bountiful array of figures that kind of represent the material? And, I mean, I know that's a tough that's a tough ask, but, like, especially considering the ocean of characters that there are in all of Tolkien's work. But I know people are really excited to see what you guys have in store, for Lord of the Rings. So hearing that there's, you guys already have kind of a future plan is exciting.
Yeah, I can't promise that we're going to go as deep as Toy Biz did with their line. Obviously they made a lot of characters, including some very, very minor characters and characters that didn't have a lot of screen time. But hopefully the line will go for a while. They're definitely a deluxe release. I think if we can do the whole Fellowship, I think that's the start of it. And then there's just so many other great characters. So we'll have to see.
So everyone has a wish list. If you could have the opportunity to work with one IP or character, what would it be?
I'm a big fan of an old Hasbro toy line called Cops.
Yes.
I at one point I had a complete collection of everything that they released, and even some of the artwork that they did for Series 2. That's the designs in that are still some of my favorite toy designs ever. So I'd love to see them updated for a new era. I can't say that that's realistic in any way, shape, or form, but that would be a whole lot of fun. In fact, when I was even thinking that I might like to get into the design side of toys, I actually applied to Hasbro and had worked up my own. This is when I was much younger. I had worked up some of my own designs for Cops. So, like, I was redesigning some of the original characters and drawing them. I was an art major, but I'm still not a fine artist by any stretch of the imagination. So I was thinking that maybe that was something that I might like to do. But I think I ended up landing where I wanted to, which is writing about toys, which is something I've been doing for a long time.
Yeah, we've actually talked about that line several times recently, off air. the designs were just they were killer. They were really good design toys. And I mean, unfortunately, right now is not the best time to launch a toy brand, or a toy theme based around law enforcement. But going back in time and looking at toys from just an aesthetic, point of view and design, I mean, those were some fun toys.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I hadn't actually thought about the whole law enforcement thing, considering that one of them's a ninja and one of them's a cowboy. And
exactly.
Yeah. It's definitely a not your traditional law enforcement agency, but it's some great designs. And about the vehicle designs were incredible. Even just, like a futuristic, what would a futuristic riot officer look like? It was just some really, really cool stuff.
And, it for me, like we mentioned it, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but kind of like one of the unique aspects to Diamond Select's offering is kind of those one-off experiences. And like my mind just starts going to like all of these kind of like iconic characters that would be fun, like one-off figures, like, your RoboCops and, even like some more kind of like cinematic classic figures like that go kind of with you know, the realm of like Bruce Lee. Like, what about like an Elvis series? You know, like Elvis Presley has had so many different fun not only cinematic roles, but just kind of like his outfits over the years, you know, his stage personas, you know, like whether it's like the, you know, the you know, Hawaiian kind of vibe, or, you know, even like just kind of like the Vegas vibe. Like, I can imagine those as being fun figures with accessories and stuff like that. And it really makes me wonder, especially now having actually spoken to you about this and the way that, you know, that you guys kind of approach licenses, it just really makes me excited to see what else Diamond has in store for us, you know, going forward.
Yeah, we've got some really interesting licenses coming up. We're going to be announcing at least one of them in the next month or so. But there's a lot of great stuff that we're going to be doing with different movies, both classic movies and modern movies and TV shows. There's definitely a lot of really great stuff in the pipeline. But Elvis would be very cool. There have been some cool Elvis collectibles over the years. He'd be a great character to tackle.
I think of things like the Crypt Keeper, or like, you know, Furiosa from Mad Max Fury Road, something like along those lines.
Mad Max figures. Yes.
No, Mad Max. I think Mad Max is something we've actually looked into a while ago. I don't think we could make it work for different reasons, but no, Furiosa would be awesome.
All of those characters, though. Mad Max. Oh, man, you could do like a wave per movie and like bang out like four figures per movie. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I think I had a lot of that line when they, I think it was it N2 toys? I can't remember. They put out a couple of waves of figures. I'm trying to remember if they did. They did a lot of characters, but I definitely had Humongous, and I think I had the Feral Boy. I'm not sure.
Just walk away.
Walk away from the gasoline.
Okay, so before we let you go, our last question goes back to your relationship with toys. What piece in your collection is your weirdest, most cherished piece, or both?
My most cherished is probably the farewell gift that they gave me when I left Toy Fair magazine, which was an Iron Man movie figure with my own head on. I'm trying to remember who they got to do it. I want to say it was Iron Cow. I didn't want to say it was Matt Pauly, but I could be wrong about that. It's got my own head sculpt, and it's kind of battle weathered. It's a very, very. I have it right in front of me whenever I do work. I have a mini made for a couple different mini made versions of myself. One of them was done when I was at Toy Fair. Me and my coworker Justin Acklin each got one from Iron Cow, and. I have a little one that a friend of mine who's on the Minimate Multiverse message boards made for me. And so my favorite toys are the ones of me. I don't know what that says about me. In other words, I'm an egotist. But they have a very special place in my heart, all of them, just because they were made for me for different reasons. I definitely have some weird pieces in my collection. One of my most prized weird pieces in my collection is not an action figure, but it's a wind up, not a wind up police car, but again, getting back to law enforcement, it's one of those I don't want to say dollar store, but one of those imports that you turn on a switch and it's just a police car that drives around, it circles and makes siren noises, you know. But it's driven by ninjas, and the box says Ninja Patrol. They're ninja police officers, and they just drive around with their hanging out the windows with, you know, waving nunchucks and swords. And it always makes me laugh whenever I see it.
Amazing. You got to share it. You got to send us pictures of those, the toys of yourself, so that way we could share them.
Oh, absolutely. I'll take some pictures.
So Zach, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us tonight and be on Adventures in Collecting. Before we let you go, Where can we find you on social media? Is there anything from Diamond Select or, you know, personally that you'd like to plug?
Definitely check out the new Diamond Select Toys website. We've just recently overhauled it. We ship internationally now, but other than that, it's just a really great new design. The old site definitely needed an update, and they did a great job with it. So definitely check out DiamondSelectToys.com, GentleGiantLimited.com also for all our Star Wars stuff and some of our Marvel stuff, including those Scotty Young pieces. We're CollectDST on Instagram and Twitter, and General Giant Limited on Instagram and Twitter. We have Facebook pages. I'm on Instagram and Twitter under Zach Oat, Z-A-C-H-O-A-T. And yeah, there's definitely plenty of places to find us online.
Yeah, that new website, big props. You guys definitely needed a refresh, and that new website is awesome.
Oh, that's great. That's good to hear.
Yeah, it's very, very cool looking.
The search function on it, especially, awesome. Very well done. Very, very well done.
Thank you.
Zach, thank you again so much for joining us on Adventures Collecting. It has been amazing talking to you, and we cannot wait to see what Diamond Select Toys has in store for us in 2021 and onward.
Yeah, very much so.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.